So I'm going to go into my sermon now. In fact, Mr. L and my sermons are going to fit together very well. We take kind of the same subject, but we tear it apart and put it together in a different way. So they'll just add to each other. You know, one of the areas I look forward to as a spirit being, becoming a spirit being, is the area of trials. I'm ready to give up these trials. I'm sure you are too. And I think when we become spirit beings, we'll no longer have these trials in our life, these pains we go through, the difficulties in life. Sure, I think we still have a little bit of that. You know, as we're going through the millennium, we're spirit beings. We're not having issues with ourselves. We're not fighting against things. We're not having various problems happen to us. But we're going to still worry about those people that we're working with. And second millennium will be the same thing. We'll still be working with people and humans and concerned about them. And yeah, there's going to be probably still a little bit of trials in our lives, but they'll be different at that time. We'll be spirit beings, and we'll be able to handle it in a different way that we go through them now. And we all go through little points in our life, difficult times in our life, when in even times of depression. Difficult depression. And maybe you're even going through that right now. Hopefully not, but you could be, as we all go through times of depression. You know, today what I'd like to do is go through two examples of people that went through very low times in their life, very difficult times in their lives. And they came out of that low point and became a great success. One of those examples is going to come from world history, and one example is going to come from the Bible. In fact, the title of my sermon today is Handling the Low Points in Life, The Cave of Adullam. The Cave of Adullam. You know, there's a cave in Israel that's called the Cave of Adullam. And it's going to be the focus of much of my sermon. This cave was critical. A critical time in the life of David, King David. You've probably never heard of that cave. It's only talked about, I guess, four times in the Bible. And every single time, it's just kind of almost said as a passing note, as a byline to something else that's going on in life. But today, hopefully, we'll go through this cave a little bit more, and you'll have a better understanding of it. But I'd like to start out today talking about a different cave. A different cave and a different person. This cave that I'm going to talk about was important to a country and to a king. In many ways, the same way that this cave we'll talk about was important to King David and to Israel. Some of you might remember the movie from quite a few years ago called Braveheart. Braveheart. Talked about freedom in Scotland. Talked about the story of William Wallace and fighting for Scottish freedom and independence. And I'd like to tell you about, not William Wallace though, but another person that was part of that story, part of that movie. His name was Robert the Bruce. Now, in the movie, Robert the Bruce was kind of pictured as somebody who was afraid and didn't really do much to help Scotland. Actually, history doesn't show him that way. Besides the fact, I can't talk about a relative of mine in that way anyway. See, my mom actually traces her family back through the Bruces of Scotland, and we don't come from the Bruces exactly, Robert the Bruce, but the family does come from very close to him. But you see, Robert the Bruce fought for a long time along with William Wallace for independence of Scotland over the English. And Robert the Bruce had fought battles and had lost many. His life was not going very well. He was defeated many times. And there were many people that were after him, wanting to kill him. Both the English and even Scottish people wanted to see him dead. And he became a fugitive. Nobody wanted him. Hunted by the English, hunted by the Scots. And it was at his very lowest point in life, very bottom. Everybody is out to get him. One bad experience after another that he hides in a cave. He goes to a cave for safety and security and to be alone because he realizes that things just aren't working well and he's trying to ponder out what to do and this is the only safe refuge he has. He's completely disheartened and he's depressed. And Robert the Bruce is laying in this cave by himself. There's a fire burning in the middle of it, and there's light from the fires flickering off the walls of the cave. He's despondent. He's in his last moments as far as feeling like he can do something. He's depressed. Who's going to stand for him? Who's going to come with him? Who's going to help him? Nobody is there to help him. And then he notices something in the flickering light across the cave at the entrance. He notices a spider. In the light of the fire, he sees it spinning its web. And this spider is spinning its web, and this web begins to take form, and then the spider stops for a second, and then all of a sudden lunges to the other side of the cave. He's got to fix the other side of this web to the other side of the entranceway. And he flings himself towards that and comes up short. He winds himself back up and flings himself to the other side of the cave door entrance and comes up short. He does this 6 times and fails 6 times. And Robert the Bruce at that moment starts feeling sorry for this spider because he can't reach his goal. And then he starts to think, maybe this is telling me that I should give up. That I should give up. It's futile to continue pushing onward for the freedom of Scotland. It's futile for this spider to continue and fail. And just as he's about to make that decision in his life, the spider throws himself a 7th time and reaches the other side of the cave entrance and makes it there and then continues to build his web, this beautiful web in front of him. And Robert the Bruce at that point makes the decision that he's going to continue on with life, that he's going to continue on with his mission. In that spider, Robert the Bruce saw the spider as himself and saw that other side of the wall as his battle against England and the freedom of Scotland. It's at that point where he decided to continue on in life, continue on with this battle, to be persistent, to not give up. Even in the midst of this, of all the obstacles he was going through and the down times and how he felt, he had renewed energy to fight for Scottish freedom, which he did. You know, no battle is ever won without courage, without strength, and without perseverance. And that's one of the challenges that Robert the Bruce realized when he watched that spider. You know, as we go on in the sermon, we'll highlight several points about getting through the times that are difficult in our life, when we're at our low points in life, and when life isn't easy, when life is tough and we're experiencing difficulties, because Robert the Bruce had felt one discouraging event after another. He'd reached the point of how much more can I take? But the spider showed him he could do more. So when we look at ourselves as low points in life, when we're at low points in life, we can look at Robert the Bruce, and we'll go into another cave in just a bit, and realize that one of the things we must do is we must persevere. In the midst of difficulty, in the midst of our lowness, in the midst of trouble and problems, one after another, we must persist and persevere. The story of Robert the Bruce highlights this. Let's go over to James 1, verses 2 through 4. Last week I gave a sermon on self-control, and we actually went to these verses, but this week I would like to take a look at these verses in a slightly different viewpoint, in a different context, in the context of perseverance when we're going through trials. James 1, verse 2 through 4 says, "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials." When we're low, when we've gone through one thing after another and it's like we can't take any more. Verse 3, knowing that the testing of your faith produces. Now that word produces here, the Greek word actually means develops or fashions. Develops or fashions. Develops or fashions, produces patience. Now that Greek word for patience, it's actually a little bit different than what we think of patience. The Greek word here for patience is actually endurance. Trials build endurance. Endurance, perseverance. It can also be translated steadfastness, patient waiting for, cheerful endurance. These are the purposes of trials, and if we grow through our trials, they should produce or fashion within us perseverance and endurance, not just patience. That's the purposes of trials. It's to help us to grow. Verse 4, but let patience or perseverance have its perfect work, that you may be perfect or mature. That word there means mature and complete, lacking nothing. The New Living Translation translates this verse as, for you know that when your faith is tested, your endurance has a chance to grow. When we go through trials and difficulties, we have a choice on whether we want to grow or not. Enduring and working through our low times develops godly endurance in us. Perseverance. Trials and the difficulties of life and the low points that we go through should help us grow and become more mature in patience, grow as a Christian. But we have to have perseverance to make it through those trials. And God will help us through that. We know that. We are told by God that He will help us through it. In Romans 8, we'll turn there. We often go to Romans 8, 28 in times of difficulty, but I'd actually like to start before that, because the story about God helping us begins before Romans 8, 28. Let's begin in verse 25, and we'll read through verse 30. Romans 8, 25 says, "But if we hope for what we do not see, we eagerly wait for it with perseverance." We eagerly wait for it with perseverance. So when we're looking at this scripture, the set of verses here, remember that we are supposed to be eagerly awaiting for these things with perseverance. We're not supposed to give up quickly just because we don't see the result of how to get out of whatever trial we are in. God will give us this unseen way to persevere. In verse 28, we come to the scripture that we read so often. It says, "And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to His purpose." But we've seen that we must persevere for all things to work out. When we're at our lowest points, we must persevere. God promises that He'll work things out as long as we are living His way of life and we persevere. He will work things out for us. You know, let's go now to that other cave. The other cave. In the Old Testament, there's another cave. And another story that parallels Robert the Bruce, except there isn't a spider in this one. But we see David in his cave. Let's go to 1 Samuel 21. 1 Samuel 21, this is a cave that a king fled to when he was at one of his lowest points in life. This event that we'll read about in 1 Samuel 21, it's during one of the many times that David was being pursued by Saul. Saul wanted to kill him. This event happens after David has killed Goliath. After David has been brought before the king Saul into the palace to play for Saul because Saul was having evil spirits. This is after he had great success on the battlefield. This is where we see David as we read in 1 Samuel 21. And we know that David knew at this point that he was going to become king of Israel. He had been anointed by Samuel back in 1 Samuel 16 to be king of Israel. He wasn't yet, but he was going to be. This is kind of the background of David at this point in life, but we also know that Saul wants to kill David. Things are not going well for David because of this. In fact, just a little bit before 1 Samuel 21, Saul actually vows to kill David. All the wealth and power of the kingdom of Israel was behind Saul to kill David. He's running for his life. David is in trouble. 1 Samuel 21, we'll start reading in verse 10. It says, "Then David arose and fled that day from before Saul and went to Achish, the king of Gath. And the servants of Achish said to him, 'Is this not David, the king of the land? Did they not sing to him, of him to one another in dances, saying, Saul has slain his thousands and David his 10,000s? Verse 12. Now David took these words to heart and was very much afraid of Achish, the king of Gath. So it's almost like, how can things get worse? The king of the land's trying to kill him. And then he goes to another king, and it's even worse. One thing piled on another. Verse 13, so he changed his behavior before them, pretended madness in their hands, scratched on the doors of the gate, and let his saliva fall down on his beard. Then Achish said to his servants, 'Look, you see, the man is insane. Why have you brought him to me?' Verse 15, have I need of madmen? Have you brought this fellow to play the madman in my presence? Shall this fellow come into my house?" So we find David is not only fleeing Saul, and his world is crashing down around him. He sunk so low to begin acting crazy in front of a king, drooling and acting crazy. He sunk so low that he actually thought it was better to be in the hands of a king that was his enemy than to be in the hands of Saul. That's his life at this point. He's not only fleeing Saul, he's fleeing many others who want to kill him. And now he's got an enemy who he has to actually act like he's insane. Now, how can things get worse than this? How can they get worse than this? David's life has changed. You've got to remember, God helped him kill a lion with his bare hands. Kill a bear with his bare hands. Kill Goliath win in battles, routed the Philistine army. But at this point in his life, he's in fear and in desperation. He's gone through so much, the highs and the lows, as I mentioned. He'd done so many things, but he'd even been married to the king's daughter. That's how much Saul had thought of him. And now Saul is out to kill him. So what does David do in this low point of his life? Let's go over to 1 Samuel 22, verse 1. He flees to a cave in his despair. 1 Samuel 22, verse 1 says, David therefore departed from there and escaped to the cave of Adullam. He escaped to a cave. He's alone. It appears that it's just him at this point. He's destitute. He's in a cave. He's remote from others. This isn't a populated area. This is in the wilderness. It's a cave of despair. He's hiding himself from Saul, from the Philistines. This cave is about 16 miles southwest of Jerusalem. We see it being referenced in a few other places in the Bible. Judah, one of the sons of Jacob, it mentions that he stopped by that area. But we don't read much more about this cave. We really don't know what happened in it when we read 1 Samuel, but we know it had great impact on his life. You know, wouldn't it be nice to know what David was thinking in that cave? Wouldn't it be nice to ask him? Well, believe it or not, he wrote 3 psalms talking about what he thought of during this time that he was in that cave. And we'll delve into 2 of those. Because you've got to remember, David is at the lowest point in his life. And I think we can use these 2 psalms to help us when we're at low points in our lives, to see how we can come out of our cave and towards the kingdom. You know, David could have given up on God at this point in life. It seems like everything is turning out wrong. God had promised him things like being king of Israel, but that wasn't in sight at all. He could have given up, but it was while he was in that cave that God reinforced to David some lessons that would help him throughout the rest of his life. Lessons of perseverance, lessons that would help him become a good king, and lessons that would eventually help him to become the man after God's own heart. I think much of that actually happened back in this cave. At his very lowest point, it seems, in his life. And this brings us to a second point as we go through these psalms. To help us during our low points, we need to take time to get reconnected to God. Take time to get reconnected to God. You may have to go to a cave. You may have to go to the wilderness and reconnect to God. Refocus yourself on what's important in life. You know, I believe God led David to this cave to help David get his life back in order, to get his life reoriented, to get his spiritual compass reoriented, to help us persevere and get through the low points in life. We must do that periodically. We must periodically set aside time to spend with God and to get reoriented. We know of the examples in the New Testament of Jesus Christ, who went out to the wilderness when that great temptation was happening with him. But you know, he did it more often than just that. Luke 5:16 says this, "So he," talking of Jesus, "himself often withdrew into the wilderness and prayed." So Jesus himself knew that he had to take time to focus on praying to his Father and getting, he didn't have to get reoriented. He wanted to get the strength and to stay there. He knew he had to have a good relationship with the Father. And when we're suffering, when we're going through difficulties, maybe depressed, feeling low, we need to make sure that we take some time to get reoriented. You know, and it can be very difficult sometimes to pray when you're having difficulties, when you're in your lowest. It can be hard to even stay focused on prayer. Sometimes all the worries are swirling around in your mind, and it's hard to be able to focus on spending time with God. Let's go over to Romans 8, 26 and 27. Romans 8, 26 and 27. It says, likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses. This is where we're at when we're going through difficulties. It's at our weakest moments. For we do not know what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Verse 27, now he who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because it makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. There are times when we're going through difficulties where it's hard to focus, hard to even focus on our needs and on talking to God. But when we make the effort, even though we might feel overwhelmed, we know that God can hear. God can hear us. He knows what our needs are, even if we cannot express them, even if we cannot fully focus on those. God knows what we need. God knows what our needs are and how to help us. We need to get away from time to time to our cave of Abdullah for short periods of time to realign our life. Turn to me to Psalms 142. Psalms 142. Let's read what was on David's mind while he was in that cave. This is one of those psalms that David wrote while he was in the cave. Psalm 142. My Bible, the King James Version of my Bible, has these comments on this chapter, on this psalm. It says, a plea for relief from persecutors, a contemplation of David, a prayer when he was in the cave. So we know now when we read these, some of David's thoughts, some of his struggles as he was in that cave in 1 Samuel 21 and 22. Let's begin with verse 1 and 2, and we see who David turns to during these times of difficulty. As you know, he didn't turn to people. He didn't turn to his armies. He turns to God. Psalms 142, verse 1. I cry out to the Lord with my voice to the Lord. I make my supplication. Verse 2. I pour out my complaint before him. I declare before him my trouble. So David turns to God. That's what he looks to. He's turning to God. He's laying it on the line. He's telling God what his problems are. You know, when I read this word complaint, I think, okay, was David's attitude right or not? Well, this word complaint can be better translated, really, to utterance, to worries, to meditation. It can even mean prayer. Complaint is just one of the ways it can be translated. But I think it's more like his meditation, his worries, his prayer. He's pouring these out before God. He's not complaining about them. He's just telling God what's happening in his life. Now we see how bad David's life has gotten, because when we read 3 and 4, we can see how he was feeling. when my spirit was overwhelmed within me. Then you knew my path. In the way in which I walk, they have secretly set a snare for me. Verse 4, look on my right hand and see, for there is no one who acknowledges me. Refuge has failed me. No one cares for my soul. Talk about feeling low, overwhelmed. People are setting snares purposely, trying to cause problems with him. People don't even acknowledge him. They don't want to be seen with him. Nobody cares about him. This is pretty low. Nowhere to turn. But he turns to the one who can provide these things, who truly does care about him. You know, David acknowledges all these things to God. He acknowledges that his life isn't going well and that he's overwhelmed. And he's having a time that is difficult. But God takes him to this cave to help him overcome that and get right with him. And that's one thing we have to do when we're in the midst of our difficult times and we're feeling low. We need to make sure that we connect with God through prayer, through fasting, through meditation, through explaining to God what's going on in our life and our need for help. And as we continue reading this, we see something else as far as helping us through these difficult and low times. A third point is David relied on God for refuge. David relied on God for refuge. If you remember back in verse 4, it says, refuge has failed me. So I think he's saying, hey, everything I've done physically, nothing is working. Nothing is working. And David fled to the cave named Adullam. It's interesting. That name Adullam literally means refuge. That's how it's translated, is refuge. David is reminded, even by the name of the cave, that this was a refuge. But he realized the cave was only a physical refuge. It was a temporary refuge. It was a place of temporary security and safety. But God is his refuge. We read verses 5 and 6. I cry out to you, O Lord. I said, you are my refuge, my portion in the land of the living. Attend to my cry, for I am brought very low. So no matter what David had done, things weren't working. He found no refuge, no true refuge, but he knew God was his. The NIV says this for verse 6. It says, listen to my cry, for I am in desperate need. Rescue me. Rescue me. David's going through a difficult time and he relies on God and asks God to rescue him. God is our refuge. God is our fortress. And David continues to tell God who he needs help from, who he needs to be rescued from. The rest of verse 6 and verse 7 says, deliver me from my persecutors, for they are stronger than I am. Bring my soul out of prison that I may praise your name. The righteous shall surround me, for you shall deal bountifully with me. You know, David sought refuge from those who were persecuting him. You know, in our lives, we're often brought low and go through difficult times because of other people, those who persecute us, whether it's a boss, whether it's work, whether it's any number of things. We're brought low because of those. David says, help me, rescue me. And that's something we should do, is ask God to rescue us. And David is feeling so bad, he even feels almost like he's in prison. I'm in prison and I can't escape. There's no way out. You know, I think it's interesting, though, when we read this, David isn't just asking for help for himself. He's actually asking God to do these things for God's glory. For God's glory. That David may glorify God before others. It wasn't just save me, save my skin. It was save me so I may proclaim your name before the Lord. You know, many Bible scholars believe that the cave of Adullam was not very far from the battlefield where David slew Goliath. They appear to be only maybe 2 miles away from each other. You wonder if David, while he's contemplating all these things, didn't look out of his cave and look over towards that place where he slew Goliath and took a look at his life and realized how much life had changed. God appeared to have been with him so closely at one time, and now where was God? He went from great victory to hiding in a cave. But yet David still wants to praise God. Wants to praise God. He was probably reflecting upon these things as he was in that cave and was humbled. Let's go over to that second psalm that was written during this time, Psalm 57. David wrote this also at the time he was in the cave. It gives us further insight into David's journey from the low to the strength and safety of God. Psalm 57, in my Bible, it has a comment on it before you actually get into it. It's his prayer for safety from enemies, a miktam of David when he fled from Saul into the cave. I didn't know what the word miktam was, so I went ahead and looked it up. Find out I'm not that stupid. There's a lot of people who don't know what it is. A lot of the scholars aren't sure what it means either. They've got some guesses, and I'll tell you two of those guesses. Some of the scholars think it means engraving, this Psalm 57, engraving. And what they feel that means, if it does mean engraving, it means that this psalm, and there's, I don't know, 6 or 7 other ones in the book of Psalms that have this, but this psalm was such an important one that they didn't leave it to just pen and ink. That they actually, it was worthy of being engraved or stamped so it would be permanent. Another meaning of it that some scholars think is that it means golden, but in many ways the same meaning. But they, when it says golden, they think that they held this psalm in high regard. And it was one of the valued of the psalms, the greatest hits, if you want to call it that. But that's how important this psalm was. And we can see David as a humble person in this psalm, humbled through the experiences he's come through, and he expresses his feelings towards God. Psalm 57, verse 1, it says, "Be merciful to me, O God, be merciful to me, for my soul trusts in you. And in the shadow of your wings I will make my refuge until these calamities are passed by." Now we come to the next point, and how to help us through our low points. Point 4 is we will see that David glorifies God even in the midst of his struggle. He glorifies God even in the midst of his struggle. David talks about the difficulties he's going through, but he focuses on God as being the stronghold and the fortress. And he tells us a little bit about what's going on. It says, "My soul is among lions. I lie among the sons of men who are set on fire, whose teeth are spears and arrows, and their tongue a sharp sword." He's again telling God his innermost feelings. the difficulties in his life. You know, he could stay on this. And sometimes in the midst of troubles, in the midst of our low times, we stay on the I needs. I need protection. I need a job. I need better health. I need. But we see that David moves on from that. He moves on to glorifying God even in the midst of this. Verse 5, be exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let your glory be all above all the earth. They have prepared a net for my steps. My soul is bowed down. They have dug a pit before me. Into the midst of it, they themselves have fallen. Selah. So David is even thanking God for his help that he is beginning to already see. They're falling into their own pits that were meant for David. Awake, my glory, awake, lute and harp. I will hearken the dawn. And I will praise you, O Lord, among the peoples, and I will sing to you among the nations. Verse 10, for your mercy reaches unto the heavens, and your truth unto the clouds. Verse 11, be exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let your glory be above all the earth. So David, in the midst of all this difficulty, in the midst of this horrendous trial he was going through, in the midst of a very low period in his life, he tells God, I need your help. These are things I need. But then he moves on to glorifying God. And sometimes it's difficult when we're in the midst of trials to glorify God. But we see here David does that. And he's an example to us. And even Christ did that in the midst of his trials. He always glorified God. You know, David, I believe, grew in faith and trust in God as he went through this. And through it all, David praises God. So how do we praise God? Do we have any examples of how to praise God? Well, we see another place. Psalms 150. This isn't connected directly to this cave. But in Psalms 150, David tells us the where, the what, the how, and the who to praise God. The where, the what, the how, and the who to praise God. Psalms 150, verse 1, it says, praise the Lord, that's hallelujah. Hallelujah. Where do we praise God? Praise God in his sanctuary. Praise him in his mighty firmament. The expanses of heaven is what that firmament means. Basically, throughout the whole universe. Praise God. What do we praise him for? Verse 2, praise him for his mighty acts. Praise him according to his excellent greatness. So not just the things he's done, but who he is. Who he is. Who God is. How do we praise God? Verse 3, praise him with the sound of the trumpet. Praise him with the lute and the harp. Praise him with the timbrel and dance. Praise him with stringed instruments and flutes. Praise him with loud cymbals. Praise him with clashing cymbals. So we see in music, in an instrument, we're supposed to praise God. But we also see that we praise him in other ways. And we see the who as we continue. Verse 6, let everything that has breath praise the Lord. So everyone should be praising the Lord. And we can see this is another way that we praise God, through our singing and through our voice in talking to God and talking about his glory, who he is, praising him. And then it ends with praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So in our times, our low times, we need to praise God. We need to make sure that's part of our prayers, not just the I wants and the I needs, but make sure we put in there the praising of God. It helps remind us, I believe, of who God is and what God is, and that he is there for us. Now, do we need to get out of the cave? do we need to get out of the cave? Do we stay in the cave? And do we stay in the cave, or do we have to get out of the cave before we can praise God? Is it only after we're taken out of our problems that we praise God? Well, no. We praise God in the cave. We praise God in the low times, just as David did. Let's go back to 1 Samuel 22, and we'll read verses 1 through 5. In this, we'll come to our last point in helping us through our low points in life. And that's do something. Do something. Leave the cave. 1 Samuel 22, verses 1 through 5, we'll reread verse 1. David therefore departed from there and escaped to the cave of Adullam. That's where we were earlier on. He's in the cave. They're hunting for him. Nobody's around him. Everybody has forsaken him. But then when we continue, it says, so when his brothers and all his father's house heard it, they went down there to him. So David connected to family. David connected to others. Again, as we're in the midst of our low points, we need to connect with people. We need to do something. Not just stay by ourselves. There's a time when we spend time with God by ourselves, but then we reach out to others. And then we see this grows. Verse 2, and everyone who was in distress, everyone who was in debt, and everyone who was discontented gathered to him, so he became captain over them. And there were about 400 men with him. Verse 3, then David went from there to Mizpah of Moab. And he said to the king of Moab, please let my father and mother come here with you till I know what God will do for me. Did you catch those last couple of words? David spent time in the cave talking to God, praying to God, telling God about his problems, praising God. Then he takes care of things he must take care of, his mom and his dad. And he's preparing these 400 men. He's a captain over them. But what does he do? He's seeking God's will. What to do next? He seeks God's will. He waits until I know what God will do for me. And then God answers him in verse 4. It says, so he brought them before the king of Moab. That's the mom and dad. And they dwell with him all the time that David was in the stronghold. That's in the cave area. Verse 5. Now the prophet Gad said to David, do not stay in the stronghold. Depart and go to the land of Judah. So David departed and went into the forest of Herith. So God told David through a prophet to get up, get out of the cave, and move forward. Do something. Don't just sit here. Do something. Don't stay in the cave. You stay in the cave for a while, but then you get out of the cave and you do something. Now David was preparing himself in that cave. He was working with this army of men. He was being a captain to them, preparing himself to do something. You know, we, in many ways, are the same. When we go through difficult times, we may have to step back into the wilderness for a bit of time, into our cave to reconnect with God. But then we have to come out. We have to come out of the cave and do something. And we know the end of this story. David used this cave experience to grow, to build an army, to become more like God. Now, David could have fought back against Saul, who was trying to kill him, but he didn't. He never attacked Israel. He just attacked the nations around. God was given him a history that people could look at. God was given him fame and money and wealth. God was blessing his endeavors. David learned, I think, a lot in that cave. Eventually, God made him king of Israel. I think God was preparing him to be king in the cave. Adullam was a springboard. That cave was a springboard to turn David into the king that God wanted him to be. You know, going back to Robert the Bruce, it also changed his life. That cave experience changed his life. He left his cave, he gathered his troops, and defeated the English at the Battle of Bannockburn in 1314. And he fought another 14 years until he achieved Scottish independence in 1328. All because of a spider on the wall. All because of a cave incident. David shows us some of these steps as we read through his Psalms of what he went through at his very low point. And these can help us when we find ourselves in difficult places and low places. We must have perseverance to complete the journey to the kingdom of God. We must take time out to reconnect with God and have one-on-one prayer and fasting. We must rely on God as our refuge, our strength, when it feels like we have so little. We must glorify God even in the cave, even in our difficulty. We shouldn't be stuck on the I needs. And then we need to do something. Search for God's way. Don't stay in the cave forever. Get out of the cave and follow God in the direction that He wants you to go. When you're at your lowest points, you might want to read these two psalms, Psalm 142 and Psalm 57. There are many other psalms, but in those two psalms, we really see the very heart of David in the midst of his struggle.